Chapter 13.
My metallic armor clanged and creaked as I made my way up the stairs with the beautiful cat girl in my arms. My head of shaggy black hair flopped into my eyes, and Una delicately slid the bangs out of my face. Then she flashed me a devilish grin as her fingers played with my black locks, and her tongue darted out to lick her lips.
"You're my knight in shining armor, just like in the stories of old,"
Una breathed with practically heart-shaped eyes.
"You saved me, and all the people of Havenwood."
"May and some of the others helped, too," I pointed out with a smirk. "But it was nothing, really. I wouldn't let those assholes get anywhere near you, and I never will. They'll have to get through me first."
"You're amazing,"
Una sighed as she rested her head against my shoulder. A few moments later, we emerged from the stairwell, and I crossed the distance to my dwelling without putting the cat girl down. I didn't want anything to stand in the way of our fun, and my steps were hurried as I entered the small structure provided to me. I carried Una inside and placed her gently down on the low platform bed, but she immediately hopped back up again onto all fours. Her tail curled around her lower back and flicked through the air, and I found my eyes drawn to the curve of her hips.
"You pleasured me from head to toe during our first night together. I've wanted so badly to do the same. I want to explore every inch of your hairless body, Alex."
"Wow," I chuckled as I shook my head. "You're unlike any other girl I've ever known before, Una."
May I help you remove your armor?"
Una asked in a tentative voice as her fingers crossed the distance between us.
"Then I will clean the battle muck from your body."
"Oh, yeah, I'm pretty gross right now, huh?" I raked a finger through my sticky hair. "What if we both go to the Rainhouse first?"
"Would that pleasure you, Alex?"
Una tilted her head to the side as she peered up at me with curious eyes. It was sexy as fuck. "Everything you do pleases me, Una."
"I want to do more."
"All right. Help me take the armor off, and we'll go take a shower together. Then you can do whatever you want to my body." A shiver ran down my spine at the very thought of Una having her way with me, and my cock throbbed beneath the multiple restraints covering me. Una hopped from the bed with a nimble grace, and I had to admire her newfound agility. I supposed she'd been agile before the opposition effect, but since I'd met her while she was still clumsy, it all felt strange to me. The cat girl's nimble fingers found the straps of my shoulder pieces while I slid off the gauntlets and tossed them into a pile. Between the two of us, it didn't take very long to remove all my armor. And then I stood in the baggy pants and vest tunic I'd worn underneath. Both were drenched in sweat and reeked of smoke, so I was eager to get into something cleaner, or better yet, nothing at all. The two of us left my dwelling hand in hand, and we quickly traversed the catwalk bridges to the Rain House. Una slipped inside and grinned devilishly over her shoulder at me, and I hurried to follow her inside as my cock throbbed again. It was dark in the Rain House, but the cat girl swiftly lit some lanterns along the walls before she slipped out of her tunic and stood before me. I gaped at the beauty of her breasts, the hues of her skin, and the generous curves of her hips below her toned abdomen. But then my eyes lingered on the fuzz between her legs as my mouth watered. "Oh, fuck, you're sexy," I breathed with an odd shake of my head. "You're really all mine?"
"For as long as you'll have me,"
Una purred, and she walked slowly toward me as her hips swayed from side to side.
"It's your turn to remove your clothes."
"All right," I chuckled as I unlatched the belt holding my tunic in place. I slid out of the sleeves and pushed my pants off my hips, but then Una's hands were on my stiff member.
"You're so eager,"
Una observed with a wry smirk, and she stroked up and down my length at a leisurely pace. "You make me this way," I hissed through clenched teeth as shivers shot up from my loins.
"Come beneath the rain,"
Una urged, and she pulled on my cock to lead me across the room. I would have followed her anywhere at that moment, but I was more than happy to join her beneath the pouring water. Una pulled the handle that released the flow, and the warmth of the liquid raining down my body felt magical.
"I can tell you're enjoying this."
The beautiful cat girl winked one purple eye as she continued to stroke my cock.
"But I imagine you will really enjoy what comes next."
Then Una grabbed soap from the container in the branch, and she worked up a rich, foamy lather before she began to coat my body with the suds. She massaged the soap across my shoulders, down my back and chest, and lathered my balls. It felt fucking fantastic. "Oh, Una," I moaned as I stretched the sore muscles in my neck. "Don't stop."
"Your sounds please me,"
the cat girl murmured as she continued her ministrations.
"Now, let's rinse off all these bubbles."
The water poured over my body, and the soap rinsed off was stained black with clover blood and soot, but I was left squeaky clean. I pulled Una beneath the flow as she giggled, and then I reciprocated the cleaning process. I worked the lather into the fur at her wrists, cleaned between every finger, and then massaged the suds across her ample chest. Una's nipples hardened beneath my exploring fingers, and I licked my lips as desire surged through me. I kept a firm grasp on my self-control as I moved my soapy hands lower, but the gasp that burst between her lips as my digits lathered the fuzzy hair of her mound was like music to my ears. Once we were both clean and the lather had been rinsed from our hair, we lingered beneath the warm flow of liquid, and Una tilted her head up to allow me access to her full lips. I bent my head down to kiss her as the water ran across my shoulders, but it pooled in her breasts before splashing to the ground. I wrapped my arms around the small of Una's back and pulled her against me as my rock-hard cock pulsated against her abdomen, and the beautiful cat girl reached her hands around my neck as our kiss deepened.
"Oh, Alex,"
Una breathed as she fluttered her eyelashes over lust-filled eyes.
"You make butterflies dance in my stomach."
"I feel the same way about you," I murmured and nibbled on her jawline. "It's like a fire that can't be quenched."
"Let me show you what I feel,"
Una requested as she began to lower herself to her knees. She gazed up at me with her large violet eyes full of desire and need, and I was unable to refuse her. "I'm all clean now. You can do whatever you want to me." Una grinned as she wrapped both hands around my shaft, and she rubbed the tip of my cock against the softness of her lips. My member twitched against her mouth, and a grin stretched across her face.
"Maybe I should torment you with slowness,"
Una mused with a mischievous look in her eyes.
"You do it to me."
"Fair is fair," I grunted as I tried to control my breathing. I was already overflowing with desire for the seductive cat girl, but every moment that passed made my urges stronger.
"You're so soft, but also hard,"
Una observed in a curious tone as she massaged the length of my cock with experimental hands.
"How can you be both things at once, Alex?"
I don't know," I gasped out as she worked my cock between her nimble fingers. "It just is what it is."
"Well, I like it,"
Una declared, and then she slid my tip between her thick lips before she curled her tongue around the head of my cock. The cat girl massaged me with her mouth as she gazed up at me, and her large purple eyes watered from the effort. Then she plopped off as a string of saliva dangled between my dick and her lips, and she flashed me a pleased smile.
"Very tasty."
"I'm really, really glad you like the taste of it," I said sincerely. I never wanted her to stop.
"I wonder what your magic tastes like,"
Una murmured against the head of my dick, and the vibration sent a pleasant sensation through my body. Images of my load exploding into Una's mouth flashed through my mind, and I struggled to maintain my self-control. But then the frisky feline took as much of my length as would fit into her mouth.
"Oh, fuck,"
I gasped as I dug my fingers into the thick hair of her head, and my cock hardened in her throat as she bobbed up and down.
"Una, where did you learn to do this?"
"Learn?"
Una plopped off my cock to tilt her head at me.
"You're the only man I've ever encountered, so I never had a chance to learn the right way to do it. I simply want to taste every single inch of you. Something deep inside me urges me on. Am I doing it right?"
"Oh, better than right. I'm not sure how much more I can take."
"Does it hurt you? You have a pained look on your face."
"Oh, far from it. It feels fucking amazing."
"Then I shall continue,"
the cat girl said. And continue she did. Una flicked her tongue in circular motions up and down my shaft as she took my length in her throat, and the grain of her tongue felt amazing against the ridges of my cock. Then her fingers grasped my balls, gently but firmly, and I marveled at her perfect sense of timing. It was like Una was designed specifically for me. Nothing could make the moment better. I gazed down at Una's wide purple eyes with adoration, and then I peeked over her shoulder at the curves of her ass cheeks and her tail as it swayed from side to side. The soft purple-blue hue of her lower legs faded to cream around her shins, and she looked absolutely edible. She was perfect in my eyes. I'd have my turn with her soon enough, and then I'd show her exactly how it felt to be on the receiving end. Before I could envision much further, Una sucked my cock even deeper down her throat than she ever had before, and I gasped as my hands curled around her fuzzy ears. "Oh, damn, Una, you're fucking good at that," I growled, and I gave the kneeling cat girl a pleased smile as I pulled her to her feet. "But now I want to be inside of you."
"I want to join with you, too,"
Una breathed as she pressed herself against me. The cat girl's lithe body fit perfectly against mine, and she stood on her tiptoes to place a kiss upon my lips.
"I give myself to you fully."
That had to be the all-the-land version of giving consent, but I wasn't complaining. I was only just starting to get used to the idea of having a purple feline friend to spend my time with, so the reassurance boosted my confidence. "And I to you," I murmured as I nuzzled her chin with my nose. I nibbled and kissed on her neck, jaw, and lips as we ground our hips against each other, but it was a simple matter to lift one of her legs up to my waist.
"Alex,"
Una gasped as I slid the head of my cock inside her tight tunnel, and she rocked her hips back and forth to work me even deeper inside.
"I want to feel you all the way."
I needed no further urging, and I stroked in and out a few times before I drove my cock home all the way to the hilt. With the recent battle still fresh in my mind, the sword-fighting metaphor wasn't lost on me, and I smirked as Una's mouth fell open while her eyes grew impossibly large.
"Yes,"
Una hissed as she clung to my shoulders, and her claws threatened to break the skin, but then she retracted them ever so slightly. The thrill of flirting with the edge of pain elicited a moan from my lips, and then I gripped her left leg firmly in my right hand before I lifted her completely off the ground. I leaned back while Una latched her ankles behind my back, and then I held on to her hips as I lifted her up and down on my shaft. Una panted each time the head of my cock slammed into her tight little pussy and her nails dug into my flesh.
"Fuck me, Una,"
I growled as my arm muscles bulged from the effort it took to lift her up and down.
"Ride me like one of those weird horse things."
"The what?"
Una managed to tilt her head to the side despite her bouncing up and down on my dick, but I only chuckled as I fucked her even harder. The walls of Una's tunnel pulsated around the length of my shaft, and her legs vibrated in my grasp as an orgasm rocked her body. The sexy feline quivered in my arms, and her nails dug into the flesh of my shoulders as her mouth fell open in a silent moan.
"Oh, you're mine,"
I growled as a fierce possessiveness took hold of me. No one would take my cat girl away from me. I'd kill anyone who tried. Then the sensations began to build deep inside me, and I felt my self-control beginning to wane. I wasn't going to be able to hold out for very much longer.
"I'm going to come," I warned through clenched teeth.
"Give me your magic, Alex,"
Una moaned as she clung to me.
"Fill me up."
I thrust inside the cat girl's tight entrance once more before my seed erupted from me like a geyser bursting steam into the air. I gripped Una's hips close against me as I came deep inside her tunnel, and her pussy clamped down on my cock like an oiled fist.
"Oh, Alex,"
she whined as her climax took control of her body.
"Oh, fuck, Una,"
I gasped out with the last clear thought I had before stars bloomed in my vision. We held each other for a few moments, and we shared a few lazy nuzzles and kisses. Then the cat girl shivered in my arms, so I gently pulled her off my cum-slicked shaft and placed her on her feet.
"I love the way it feels inside me,"
Una murmured as she fluttered her eyelashes at me, and she reached down to play with my cum as it slid down her lithe thigh.
It's warm and tingly. It's spreading all around my insides. I want more.
I rinsed off beneath the somehow still warm liquid still pouring into the center of the room, and Una quickly mimicked my actions. Then, when we were both clean, I took her hand in mine and pulled her toward the door. "Let's get back to my room where we can really spread out," I suggested with a shit-eating grin. But then I glanced around the Rain house as a thought struck me. "We don't have any clean clothes in here."
"Let's dash."
Then she scurried across the room to where our clothes were piled haphazardly, and she scooped them up into her arms before she tossed a flirtatious smile over her shoulder at me.
"Try to keep up,"
she taunted, before she slipped out of the portal and disappeared. "Oh, fuck me, she's fast," I groaned before I darted after her. I spotted the curl of Una's tail on the rope bridge up ahead, and I hurried my pace to catch up. The mischievous cat girl cackled with delight as her naked ass bounced across the catwalks. But I wasn't about to be outdone by a frisky feline, so I pumped my legs even faster. I didn't see anyone in Havenwood while we ran through the treetop city, and I supposed they were all still cowering in the roots, but the battle was far from my mind at that moment. I didn't care if anyone did see us anyway. I had nothing to be ashamed of. I'd just annihilated my enemies on the field of battle and then claimed my woman. I was feeling on top of the world, both literally and figuratively. The sensation of the wind blowing through my hair and across other areas was enjoyable, but I was grateful when we finally arrived at the squat structure I'd resided in ever since coming to All the Land. Una reached the door an instant before me, and she tossed her head back to let out a throaty laugh when I smacked her ass instead of reaching for the doorknob.
"Don't be a bruised loser,"
Una teased as she opened the door and sauntered into my dwelling. I realized I still hadn't seen Una's living space, and curiosity bloomed in my gut. What was her home like? The catgirl had been attached to my side ever since I'd arrived in All the Land, so she was practically living with me already. Not that I cared. I wanted her to stay by my side, where she belonged.
"What are you waiting for?"
Una asked, and she drew me out of my thoughts with a hip cocked to one side. "Nothing," I chuckled, as I dipped my head below the portal, and I crossed the room to where Una stood beside the low platform bed. "Don't worry, you're not in trouble. This time."
"Oh?"
Una giggled, but then she began to lower herself to her knees. The sexy feline definitely enjoyed the oral arts, but I had other ideas. I worked her up over the edge with my fingers multiple times, but my cock began to throb long before I was done giving her orgasm after orgasm. She was melted into a puddle when I was finally ready to slide my cock inside her once more. After a few thrusts in missionary position, I rolled Una over onto her stomach, and I slid inside her from behind while I gripped her tail in my fist. I wasn't sure how sensitive it was, but Una growled with desire and pressed her ass back into me, so I had to assume she enjoyed it. I fucked my sexy cat girl while her ass bounced up and down along my shaft, and the sound of her cries echoing through the air were music to my ears.
"Alex! Alex! Oh, yes! Alex!"
Una chanted as I slammed my cock into her tight little pussy, and she clenched the blankets in tight fists.
"Oh, don't stop!"
Una wiggled uncontrollably beneath me as another orgasm rolled through her, and she tossed her head back as she arched her back. I exploded my load deep inside her womb in the same instant, and I shuddered as the pleasure shook every muscle in my body. I wasn't done just yet, though, and we changed positions before we continued. I was amazed at my own stamina, but the moment I thought I was losing steam, Una would flutter her eyelashes or lick her lips, and I would be hard again. She rode me cowgirl style before we finished in 69, and Una was drenched in sweat by the time we collapsed in a tangled heap. After what seemed like hours, I finally opened my eyes, and I realized the moon had risen while we made love.
"Oh, Alex, I can see the stars through the window,"
Una gasped as she tapped me excitedly on the chest.
"Your magic seed has healed me even more. We have to tell the others."
"Whoa. I'm still not sure that's what's happening to you. We can tell the doctor, but let's not make a big deal out of it until we know for sure."
"If that is what you wish,"
Una said with a small shrug.
I'm just happy I am saved from the opposition effects.
You're amazing, I murmured into Una's hair. But we should probably rejoin the others soon.
I suppose you are correct,
Una said in a reluctant tone, and she nuzzled her head against my chest.
Can we come back here and cuddle after?
Absolutely. I grinned as I squeezed her in my arms. But I still don't have anything to wear.
Oh, I'll run over to my dwelling and fetch some,
Una suggested, and she hopped out of bed with nimble grace. She was out the door before I could argue, but she returned a few moments later with her arms laden with fabric. The two of us got dressed in clean clothes, but I had to take a moment to appreciate the outfit Una assembled for herself. The sexy hybrid wore purple and orange striped stockings over her lithe legs, and a strappy bikini bottom was tied around her tail. A black leather corset with lace stretched over her cleavage, and it was attached to a choker necklace around her neck. She finished the ensemble with fishnet gloves that rose to her elbows, and then she strapped some of the leather armor over her shoulders and legs. I shook my head in amazement at how sexy she managed to be with such little effort, and then I pulled on a pair of pale green baggy pants. Una had also brought me a purple tunic, but the sleeves were tight around my muscular shoulders.
They're probably waiting anxiously for us,
Una said as we exited my dwelling and headed back down to the roots. We were circling the stairwell when I noticed the door was open at the base of the tree, so we went out to the clearing instead of down to the roots. I saw Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya standing with their backs to us, talking to May, but then I spotted some other citizens of Havenwood. What's going on? I asked as we crossed the distance to them. Did the clover cards come back?
No, we are still safe,
Miss Maggie said as she swiveled to face us.
For now.
Havenwood is our safe haven,
Dr. Kriya said, and it was clear we'd just interrupted a terse argument between Una's two mother figures.
We have nowhere else to go.
We have to figure something out,
Miss Maggie argued, and she turned to me for assistance.
Right, Dreamer, we must leave.
The fight is over. I know everyone is freaked out, but let's go upstairs and talk about this over a drink.
Listen to Alex. He is here to save us, which he does very, very well. He did kill the clover cards,
Dr. Kriya said as she tapped a finger against her chin.
With some help. Not that I could have removed the threat as a solo mission, but I'm sure the Dreamer appreciates the assistance.
That I do, I assured the Dodo woman with a grateful smile.
I've been telling you to trust the Dreamer, Doc,
Miss Maggie said as she crossed her arms over her chest. But then the doctor flashed her a stern look.
I've trusted him for longer than you have,
the mousy-eared woman countered.
Alex really saved me,
Una said in an even louder voice. I knew she was referring to my supposed magic sperm, but the others didn't understand her comment, or they were too busy arguing to hear her in the first place. Either way, it was time to intervene.
Everyone upstairs now,
I said in a loud, booming voice, and the women around me jumped into action. Even Miss Maggie hurried toward the stairs, and her curly pigtail wiggled as she dashed toward the portal in the trunk of the sequoia tree. Dr. Kriya sighed, and her shoulders slumped as she headed after the pig lady, and May tilted her hat in my direction before she trotted toward the entrance. I chuckled at the sheer absurdity of my life now, and then I followed the gorgeous Dodo woman, the plump pig lady, and the anxious mouse doctor up the stairs of a 300-foot-tall tree with a cat girl's hand held in mine. We all returned to the dining hall, but it was a lot less crowded this time. Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya automatically migrated to my usual table, and May followed behind them. Una and I sat beside each other, but the others all looked at me expectantly. Over the shoulders of my companions stood the other citizens of Havenwood, and the animal people were silent as they waited for me to speak. Even Una turned to blink at me with those mesmerizing violet eyes, and I swallowed hard. These people looked to me to lead them, and that was something I had zero experience with, but now their lives were in my hands. I worked the muscle in my jaw as I slowly pushed myself to my feet, and then I climbed from the bench to the surface of the table so I stood above everyone's heads.
Today, the unthinkable happened,
I began in a clear, calm voice.
Our enemies were on our very doorstep, but they failed to achieve their goals. We worked together to drive them away, and it was glorious.
More will come,
Miss Maggie interjected with a shake of her head.
We need to leave. The sooner the better.
We have lived in Havenwood ever since the Great Turmoil,
Dr. Kriya argued.
There is nowhere else to go.
Surely we could find some place safe. Why don't we call a vote?
What in all the land is that?
May asked as she blinked owlishly at me.
An earthen matter.
It's where everyone gets to say what choice they would like to make. And then we count. And if more people choose one thing over another, that's the decision.
How will we choose?
An unfamiliar voice from the gathered animal people asked, and I turned to see a mostly bird woman perched on the edge of the windowsill.
Between our home and the great unknown.
The woman had a human face lined with age, and the colorful feathers with a gray underbelly made me think of a parrot. She was a little larger than what I would consider to be normal size for a bird, and I remembered seeing her flying buckets of water across the battlefield earlier in the night.
Well, let's talk out the pros and cons,
I said with a friendly smile at the new face.
Havenwood was discovered by the Clovers. They know where we are, so they'll just keep on coming unless we stop them somehow.
Havenwood has enough space for all of us, though,
Dr. Kriya pointed out.
And there are many who are not well enough to travel, lying in bed in the roots.
We should let Alex heal them.
No, Una, I said under my breath, and images of the shriveled shells of former soldiers I'd seen in the below-ground bunker flashed through my mind. That was definitely not happening. Wait.
Fine. I shall wait.
I wasn't ready to address my magic sperm just yet, but I knew the cat girl wasn't going to forget about it anytime soon.
So, we need a new location with enough space for everyone to live comfortably,
I mused as I tapped a finger against my chin.
Maybe we should scout out the area to the east of here. The more distance we put between us and the Clover Fortress, the better.
There is so much unknown.
Havenwood cannot move. What of the men?
Tell him, Doctor!
Everyone clamored at once, and I raised my hands to motion for silence.
We're going to a vote!
I shouted over the din of the crowd.
Let's be civilized about it, all right?
The Dreamer has spoken!
Miss Maggie roared as she glared around at the loudest people in the room. Silence fell immediately, and I flashed her a grateful smile.
As I was saying, we need a piece of paper to write tally marks on and a pen or pencil or something like that.
Pen?
Una asked with a confused tilt of her head.
Pencil?
May repeated as she cocked her head in the opposite direction. I blinked at the pair of gorgeous eyes staring up at me, and I forgot what we were talking about for a long moment as my gaze flicked back and forth between the two beautiful women.
Things to write with,
I explained once I regained my composure.
Oh, yes, of course.
May chortled, and she reached into her vest pocket to remove a feather.
In all the land, we call it a quill.
I'll remember that. Anyone have paper?
Una hesitantly withdrew the carefully folded piece of paper from her hip pouch, and I instantly shook my head.
No, not the recipe, Una, I said as I waved a dismissive hand. We can get something else, but that is incredibly generous of you.
What about a strip of bark?
Miss Maggie suggested, and I nodded.
That could work,
I grinned.
Thanks, Mags.
A short while later, I had a large piece of bark, a quill, and a room full of expectant animal people staring at me. Word of the vote had swept through the residents of Havenwood, and the room was tightly packed again. Everyone wanted a chance to make their voice heard, and fortunately, they managed to form themselves into multiple neat lines. I wrote leave and stay on opposite sides of the piece of flat bark, and then I nodded for the first person in line to come forward. It took me a while to get through every single person who lived in Havenwood, and who was well enough to come upstairs to vote, but then I had a tally of everyone's decision. The leave column had more marks, so I cleared my throat to announce the final decision.
Havenwood is relocating to a new spot,
I said, as I surveyed the mixed expressions in the waiting crowd. I'd found a safe haven in the dangerous dream world I'd somehow woken up in, only to have it wrenched away. And now it was my responsibility to keep those strange animal people out of harm's way. All part of being the Dreamer.